Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Today is July 20th, 2016, and our topic today is, if in a blink of an eye, a hot fitness brand emerges. And, of course, talking about heat, we're in the midst of summer, and my co-host Stan Friedman is back on the air with us after enjoying the heat in Hilton Head.
Boy, you talk about the blink of an eye, Paul. That's how my vacation felt. It was gone before it even felt like it was starting. Blink, done, finished.
Yes, it is, and certainly we missed you. We had a great show last week, but you definitely were missed. And of course, I did a little song and dance trying to get through the front of the house. So I am happy to turn that back over to you today. What's going on in franchise?
Well, I'm
going to
open the today with a couple of little tidbits, mostly a look ahead to some of the things that are going on through what others might deem to be the dog days of summer. But there's pretty aggressive calendar of events, Paul, and I'm going to share a little bit about that with the audience. But first, I want to talk about a guy that most people in this audience probably have not heard of, but his name is Joe Walker. Ever hear of him?
No, I haven't.
Well, he's a Columbia, South Carolina native who in 2004, after college, found himself in the military as a second lieutenant, and he was headquartered out of Fort Stewart, Georgia. And about a year into his service, he found himself fighting door-to-door in urban combat in Iraq. He was one of 36 soldiers in his unit, and six of those didn't come home. 16, including himself, were wounded, and he faced all the perils that we thank our veterans for the service that they give us every day. Well, this young gentleman, Joe Walker, today is part of the franchising world, Paul, and he's one that Marcos should be extremely proud to call a member of their team. So he's now a multi-unit franchisee and growing the Marcos brand famously in the southeastern U.S. And I would invite everybody to find out more about him in this week's IFA Insider or the Smart Brief. This is a young man going places. He gives his military career a lot of the credit for the training that has brought him to the place where he can parlay the experience of military service, some work that he did in commercial real estate. In fact, it was a relationship in commercial real estate that helped him fund his dream to get his business started. But this guy is going places, and he's somebody we can all take a lesson and some inspiration from. So look up and get to know more about Joe Walker. He is what VetFran is all about.
Great story. Great story.
And then just looking at the calendar, Paul, yesterday marked the kickoff of IFA's At Our Franchise Summer Tour with CEO and president of the IFA, Robert Cresante, kicking off the summer tour in Denver at the offices of PostNet. The campaign and the summer tour are designed to tell the story of how local franchise businesses and their owners and employees are supporting communities by creating jobs and business ownership opportunities. At Our Franchise, which includes advertising, educational events, employee training resources, research and economic data, it's all designed to capture the positive impact of the franchise business model as told through the voices of local owners in their own voice and speak to the level of economic contribution that franchise owners continue to make into the economic economy in America. Franchising contributes $994 billion to the U.S. economy, supporting 9.1 million jobs, according to the IFA. And in fact, as part of my research into the At Franchise campaign, At Our Franchise campaign, I learned that there is a morning consult survey of 10,000 voters that was released yesterday, showing that Americans have a favorable view of franchise businesses across all demographic categories, including party affiliation, age, gender, and race. So for all the negative Nellies and all the bad news we keep hearing about NLRB and how state governments and Uncle Sam are trying to over-insert themselves into the world of the franchise business model. It would seem to me that the Add Our Franchise Tour is already producing some positive results, and you can go online to Add Our Franchise AddOurFranchiseTour.com to learn more about this initiative and whether Mr. Crisanti and the tour of IFA officials through the summer are coming soon to a city near you. Also on the calendar, just a couple of things that are upcoming, Paul, that I want to call out, because, again, most people think that franchising takes a nap in July and August. But coming up on the 17th and 18th of August is the annual Faegre Baker Daniels Franchise Summit in Minneapolis. It's going to be an incredibly large program this year. Once again, Brian Schnell has secured the IFA chair, so Aziz Hashim will be speaking. Mike Bidwell from the Dwyer Group, along with many other luminaries in the franchising world, will be there and participating, proud to be sponsoring this event along with some others in the franchising world. So August 17th and 18th, if you haven't made plans already, do get in touch with Brian Schnell or somebody at Faegre Baker Daniels, and be sure to put that on your calendar. Also coming up in August is the Franchise Capital Exchange, which is put on by Marianne O'Connell. And this will be her second time out as the owner of the production. FranWise has now been doing this for 2 years, Susan Beth before that, August 24th and 26th in Chicago. And this is open to attendees that are interested in learning how to capitalize their businesses, as they are predominantly emerging brands looking for the capitalization to take their brands to the next level, enabling them to secure professional management, professional services, and tools to operate and grow and scale their businesses. I proudly sponsored this event last year, and I'm so sorry that I can't be there this year because of scheduling conflicts, but this is an event that anyone with an interest from the supplier side that wants to be around emerging brands, investors, or emerging brands themselves that are looking for an education or participation in ways to grow their business with private equity, this is the conference for you, and you can find more about this online at franchisecapitalexchange.com. And then behind that, Paul, you know, summer will almost be over, and we get into the fall with Franchising Gives Back and the Franchisee Power Summit, all part of this year's Franchise Action Network annual meeting in D.C., September 13th, 14th, which sounds far away, but, hey, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, and it's, you know, summer's over, and we're back into full swing into the fall. And behind the Franchise Action Network, right behind that is Franchise Development Seminar in Denver, which will open up the week preceding the now what was West Coast Franchise Expo, rebranded as Franchise Expo West. And, you know, that's taken us into October, which, again, in the blink of an eye, the summer's gone, we're into the fall, and franchising is doing anything but taking a nap. And then behind all that, upcoming at the end of September, is Springboard, and if you've not registered yet for Springboard, please make sure you do. This is going to be, I think, the biggest and the best event yet that Lane Fisher and Brad Fishman have put on. Again, an event for emerging franchisors, September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd at the Logan Hotel in Philadelphia. Do not miss Springboard. And that's kind of a quick look at the front of the house. Give it to you in a blink, so you can blink us out from here to our guest, Paul.
Well, you certainly made up for your missed week last week. Before we bring on today's guest, I do want to thank last week's guest, Mike Kernighan and John Percuti of Been There, Dump That. Boy, I had a hard time saying that repeatedly.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a tongue twister. Anyway, I want to thank them. It was really a great show. Indeed. You know, today's guest is from Blink Fitness, and the brand emphasizes mood above muscle, a philosophy that celebrates the immediate positive feeling associated with exercise rather than just the longer-term physical benefits. And it's this philosophy that we look forward to discussing today with Todd Magazine, president of Blink Fitness. Todd, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, gentlemen. Nice to hear you, and love all the references to Blinks in there. It's fun to hear it peppered in throughout. So thanks for the free advertising.
If I'm nothing else, I'm irreverent. So
thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you being here. Yeah, Blink. It was good that we made quite a few references. You know, as I produce the show every week and look for the catching titles, I immediately thought of, you know, the blink of an eye. And, of course, you know, a hot fitness brand emerges because, you know, Blink really hasn't been around all that long. And we'll talk some about that as the show progresses. But first, we're going to talk about, you know, you, corporate executive, finds his way into franchising and then to the top seat of a very quickly growing fitness brand. So kind of just give us a recap of where you've been and how you ended up in franchising.
Well, yeah, it's been a bit of a circuitous route, I would say, for sure. So I really started my career in the consumer products world. I worked for originally with Procter & Gamble and Pepsi, and obviously was in a, you know, big corporate environment, you know, Fortune 50 companies, and started in the marketing function and worked my way up through into the general management arena. But, you know, quite honestly, I think after 25 years or so in big companies and in all of the you know, the positives and opportunities that come along with that, I thought it was an opportunity for me to try something different and maybe get into a business that was a little bit more related to a passion that I had. And I had the opportunity to meet some folks who were in the fitness space, and they afforded me the opportunity to come into to that business, and took a chance on somebody who really only had corporate experience, and this was moving into a private company, you know, starting on a brand that was really kind of the embers of an idea, and so I made that leap to more of an entrepreneurial private company, and you know, there's a lot of stories of people who have made those changes and have had had their challenges. But you know, fitness was a passion of mine, and I really wanted to try something new and try something fun and try to leave a legacy. And so that's when I made that change, which was in 2012. So, and you know, we can talk a little bit fast forwarding, but that was really the transition, and it was a great opportunity, and I'm very fortunate to have had that that opportunity to do that.
So a lot of people that make that move from corporate America to the franchising world find the transition a little bit daunting, a little bit challenging, coming from an environment where you can tell your subordinates what to do, whereas in franchising we just hope to inspire and give great ideas and hope that we can kindle a little flame in somebody and help them fan that flame with their own initiative. In fact, I always make jokes about the ideal scenario in franchising would be to be able to whisper something into a franchisee's ear while they're sleeping, and they wake up tomorrow and call me and tell me they had this wild dream and what a great idea they had. And I say, really, tell me more about it. And it's exactly what I would have been whispering in their ear as they were sleeping. And I say, wow, that is a brilliant idea. What can I do to help you, you know, what can I do to support that and help you make that happen? That, to me, is easy and plain and clear to see as anything in terms of how franchising works best. But people coming from corporate life, Todd, don't always grasp that. How did that work for you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. There are many, many people that work in corporate America that believe that they want to be entrepreneurs and they want to do something small and really start a concept and build a business, versus in many cases in my career it was really inheriting businesses and trying to make them better. And everybody thinks that they have that entrepreneurial kind of bone in their body, and they say all the things. Yep, I'm willing to, you know, your point before about having lots of resources in a big company and being able to kind of roll up your sleeves in a smaller company. And you really do have to have humility. You have to be willing to check your ego out the door and realize, you know, when I joined Blink, we had, I think it was about 8 employees. So there really weren't a lot of people to direct at that point. I mean, I'd worked for companies where we had thousands of people and lots of resources and deep pockets, and in this case, we were really, you know, building it from scratch. And so you really do have to have humility, and you have to be willing to be the person that is doing the work, not just directing the work. And for a lot of people, that is, you know, it's just too hard to make that shift back. And you know, personally, I just really enjoyed it, and it was a labor of love, and I was surrounded by people who were very talented, and we had an ownership that was very supportive, and, you know, I was very fortunate to be able to make that change. And, you know, 5 years later or so, it's been a lot of fun. Not without its challenges, but a lot of fun.
I see a couple of people on your team that that are pillars of relationship management. I know Ed Yancey from, I think, Jersey Mike's days is where I think I remember him. And is it Dos or Dos Condon?
Dos Condon, yeah. That's
so
exactly
he looks
right.
Like a lifer with the concept.
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, you know, that was one of the real benefits of our business. You know, we were surrounded, and thankfully I was surrounded by people who had different skill sets than mine. And, you know, I brought some things to the table from my experiences in corporate America, but I had no retail experience. I had really no entrepreneurial experience. I had no franchising experience. And so, you know, thankfully I was surrounded by, you know, folks like you just mentioned, Dos, who was a 25-year veteran of the fitness business and was a really an operational you know pillar and was able to you know, and he had experience working for our parent company, and he was able to bring all of that to Blink. And then, you know, as you mentioned, a little further down the road, Ed Yancey joined us, and Ed, as you mentioned, has great experience with the likes of Jersey Mike's and before that Dunkin' Donuts and a number of other very venerable franchise companies. And, you know, I can go on about the people that, you know, joined early on as well as people that have joined us since. But, you know, again, when you're a small business, you have to surround yourself with people who have core expertise and can bring things to the table that you might not have. And, you know, while I was, my experience was in brand building and running big companies, so I had the ability to think in those terms, but I obviously had to surround myself with people who had different skills, and you can't do it on your own. That's just the reality of building any successful business. You have to be part of the team and surround yourself with people who are hopefully better than you and can make things even better as a whole. So so I was very fortunate in order to have that opportunity.
So I want to move into a little bit about the brand and ask one more question before I let Paul sneak in here. When I look at your website from the consumer's perspective, I see something that just jumps out at me as a meta message, which is a lot of people that aren't beautiful people, at least, you know, not beautiful people in the way we would think of beautiful people. When we think about fitness and we see hard bodies and we see people that, you know, are a perfect body and bodybuilders, I look at the website and I see everyday people. But I see happy people. I see people that are comfortable in their skin. And everything about this brand just screams happy, happy, happy. And so let's talk about that consumer experience, because two things that, you know, run against that to me, and one, of course, is just, you know, 45 locations in the New York area. You don't see people smiling in New York all the time. But on your website, everybody's got a big grin on their face. So let's talk about how you make people happy with what you do and the difference between your concept as compared to others that might be deemed to be in the same competitive set. And then we'll kind of roll through that and into franchising as we work through the hour.
Right. Well, You said a few things there that are really important. One, you know, let me kind of go back a little bit to a little bit of our history and how we started, and it'll kind of answer the question that you're articulating, which is, you know, we entered the it's called the high volume low price segment, and so, you know, some people use the term value segment. We weren't the first. There were others in the category that had started well before us. And so anytime you're not a first mover, you know you have to come into the category with something differentiated. And so what we really saw was that there was an opportunity to, you know, bring something differentiated and in many cases a better product than what was already there. And, you know, we did that. And if you any of the listeners, or if you have a chance to ever go into a Blink, you know, the minute you walk in, The first question you ask is, how is it possible that these guys are charging about $15 a month in order to deliver this proposition? It doesn't feel like a $15 gym, $10 or $15 gym. And that isn't necessarily the case in the category. If you go into other gyms in our space, you kind of get what you pay for. So that's the first thing you see. But the other is really what you had talked about in terms of how we are positioning the brand and the real benefit that we're offering our members. Great statistic that I didn't know and was really shocking when I joined the category is that, and the numbers bounce around a little bit, but about 85% of the U.S. population does not belong to a gym. And I thought that was just mind-boggling when I walked in because I just always grew up, you know, playing sports and being active and being surrounded by people like that. But the vast majority of Americans are really not part of the gym world that many of us have grown up in. And the reason for that is because, as you mentioned, the gym world has kind of, you know, disenfranchised most of the U.S. population. And the reason that has happened is because of what you articulated, which is it's the imagery and the perception that gyms have created in today's world, which is in order to join a gym, you got to look a certain way. You got to be fit. You got to be confident. You got to know what you're doing. And for most people, walking in a gym is like it's like walking into a lion's den. It's very, very scary. And it's the reason most people don't do that. And so we saw an opportunity to create an environment where anybody could walk into the gym and feel at home and feel comfortable. And you know, regardless of your physical attributes today, we wanted to find something that was common to all people, and that is everybody wants to feel good. Everybody wants to be happy. And we know the physical benefits are not going to happen overnight. Anybody who's promising quick weight loss or, you know, instant, you know, biceps or six-pack abs is being, you know, untrue in their articulation because it takes hard work and it takes time. But the things that you get immediately from exercise, as any of us know, and the first time you walk in and you do any kind of exercise, you walk out of there and you feel like $1 million. You feel great. And that's what we're really trying to capture and bottle. And so we really broke the paradigm in the category. And you know, I'm not sure we were the first, but I think we were, to really show real people in our advertising, to your point. And so we're showing people that are definitely not perfect, but you'll see a smile on all of their faces because you don't have to be perfect in order to join our gym and to get a benefit from it. And so that's essentially what we're selling. And one of you mentioned this kind of mood above muscle idea, and that's the philosophy that we are articulating and offering our members. We are putting the emotional benefits of fitness above the physical benefits. We're not being dismissive of the physical benefits. Obviously, there are many things that we want to deliver, but those things will take time, but the emotional benefits will come immediately. So I'll stop there and take a breath and let you guys ask some more questions.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, timely in light of what, you know, recently happened in L.A. when the ex-Playboy playmate Danny Mathers took the picture of the woman getting dressed or in the state of being naked in the locker room, you know, and, you know, it's that type of, you know, bullying that goes on, whether it be, and I think it's all intentional if that occurs, you know, that prevents people from, you know, coming to, you know, fitness centers and feel they already have to look great before they even get there, because it becomes, you know, this big social event. So, you know, my hat's off certainly to your brand for what they're doing, because, you know, reading a lot about it, you know, this mood above muscle, but it's also, you know, a number of tenets such as, you know, everyone cleans. And I think you were quoted as saying, you know, these are not just nice words we put on paper, but a culture and a way of life for our staffs. And you said one of your favorite member posts on Yelp is from someone who's touring the gym and saw the manager of that location actually cleaning the toilet. The prospect said that when he saw this, he knew this gym was for him. So, you know, this is something that you're living and breathing every day, creating this positively memorable experience. And I think that's what's often missing in a lot of the fitness studios, you know, across the country, is that positively memorable experience And as Stan pointed out, you know, the smiling faces, everyday people, everyday life that's on your website, and it's creating that positively memorable experience across the masses, not the sculptured, you know, hard-bodied few that are out there. And I think that's just a great opportunity to differentiate the brand from everyone else.
Yeah, and thanks. And those are exactly the two tenets that we believe are what differentiates us from others in the category, bringing that kind of more premium luxury type experience, you know, one of which, as you mentioned, you know, the cleanliness and keeping the gyms feeling, you know, clean, and the equipment is not broken, and everything's working, and our people are paying, you know, attention to detail, and having that belief and feeling that that this is a more of a luxury experience. That's number one, and then the second is obviously this mood above muscle idea. So, those are really the things that are, you know, separating us from our competition. And it's why we're able to enter a market. As I said, we're not first movers. So we have had to be able to enter markets with lots of competition. And we've had tremendous success with our, you know, 46 locations and over 250,000 members. And you can't deliver that kind of success unless you have something that's differentiated. People are just not going to pay for something that's me too. And so we feel like we have very strong proof of concept in these two very differentiating ideas, one which is kind of more of the, you know, the physical part of the experience, and the other is more of the emotional part of the experience. And that's really been beneficial to us so far.
Well, even in
this is Franchise Today.
Wait 1 second, Stan. Even the ones that you, the way you represent the people that work in the studios, associates, I love that you call them mood lifters, as opposed to training or anything like that, because I think that just, you know, conveys the entire experience. Anyway, Stan, go to the break. Thanks.
My pleasure, Paul. This is Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman, along with Paul Segretto. And we're speaking today with Todd Magazine, president of Blink Fitness in New York City. Franchise Today is brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software specifically for managing franchised relationships. Built in industry-leading Microsoft Dynamics CRM, FRM Solutions are both cloud-based as well as fully accessible from right inside your Outlook inbox. With FRM, you'll spend more time focused on growing the business, while their systems and solutions take care of effectively managing workflows, collaborative communications with prospective and existing franchisees. You can sort, report, and dashboard all of your vital data and empower your team to accelerate franchise sales, streamline store openings, and better manage day-to-day operations, unit-level performance, and compliance. No hassles, no long-term contracts, no excuses, just solutions, FRM Solutions, on the web at frmsolutions.com. Franchise Today is also brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, a business accelerator boasting more than 30 years of experience helping emerging brands bring sustainable growth to their franchise concepts. Franchise Foundry utilizes a hybrid coaching and consulting approach that fosters effective solutions for their clients in several aspects of the business, including general operational and change management, traditional as well as digital marketing, relationships and business management, and, of course, franchise recruitment and development. The Franchise Foundry also assists brands with raising capital and with the exploration of mergers and acquisitions. Learn more about their expanding list of clients across various industry segments at franchisefoundry.com. That's www.franchisefoundry.com. So, Todd, let's move into the world of franchising. And as we've learned a lot about what makes the difference between your concept and others in the set, tell us a little bit about the profile of the franchisees that you're looking for and who it is that may make the perfect, if you could rub the genie out of the bottle, what would the perfect profile be for you in terms of a franchisee?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say that, you know, one of the things that we decided to do before we got into franchising, you know, I'm somewhat of a newcomer to franchising, been in a few years now, but there's a lot of stories about folks that get into franchising and they have maybe one unit, maybe two units, and they're off and running in the franchising world. And There's probably some challenges with that. We decided to go at it a different way. We decided to open corporate locations and really perfect the model and stay as operators while at the same time we are expanding our growth through franchising. So one of the things that also makes us different is that we're operators. And so as we get into the franchise business, we know exactly how to run and operate and drive growth and obviously success in the business. So that's a really important part of it. So we just started franchising within the last year. And, you know, to answer your question more specifically, we really are looking for people who are looking for an opportunity for growth and investment. While we are very interested in single unit franchise owners, our sweet spot is probably going to be more multi-unit owners, folks who might today be franchisees and looking for a diversification opportunity. We've got a lot of interest from people who come from either QSR or fast casual because our business model is a little bit simpler. There's no spoilage. We don't have a lot of cash transactions. So it's a great diversification opportunity for people who are in the franchise world today. But we've also been talking to a lot of folks who are really just interested in an investment and are looking for multi-unit opportunity. And because we're new to both franchising and, frankly, somewhat new to even the fitness space, there's a lot of opportunity out there in terms of market growth and white space in markets, which is not always the case in a mature category like ours. So, so we definitely want somebody who is interested in investment and has kind of a passion for excellence. They don't have to know anything about fitness. They don't have to have a passion necessarily for fitness. We'll teach them all of that, but they have to have the capability in order to come in and run a business and be able to support, a membership that is and a proposition that is really about, quality, and that's really what our sweet spot is.
And certainly coming out of one of the toughest markets in the country, the New York metropolitan area, you've absolutely proved, the model. I've read in a press release that you're now looking at markets such as Boston, Dallas, and Tampa as initial markets. How quickly do you anticipate growing the brand through the franchise model?
Well, we've already started to do that. I mean, we have some early franchise kind of pioneers that are already on board, and we've had tremendous interest just because we've had such success with our corporate business. And just to note for those interested, we have a very robust item 19 in our FDD that articulates the numbers in a lot of detail, and we've been told that our item 19 is very robust and shows a lot of really great information. So I think that's why we've had some real interest and a lot of desire for people to take the model and expand it in different markets. So we're already starting to see development, and we anticipate within the next, call it two to 5 years that we'll probably have 150 to 200 franchise locations in the market. So when you balance that out with probably about a similar number of units in the corporate development, which we will continue to do, we anticipate probably in the 2020 range that we will have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 300 plus locations. So we're aggressive. We're very interested in continuing to do two areas of development, one corporately and one with franchise. But the franchise opportunity obviously represents the biggest opportunity because there's so many people out there that are looking for great business models like ours. So we're hopeful that we'll continue to have success with franchising.
So obviously with a proven, business model, franchising, as we often talk to, emerging brands and say, once you, enter the space of franchising, you got to put that franchising hat on because you have people, investing in you, investing in your brand, oftentimes investing, life savings. And of course, training and support is extremely important. What are the different levels of training and support that a franchisee, and especially an investment type of franchisee, can expect as they sign on with One Fitness?
Well, they're going to get a lot of hands-on support. I mean, as I mentioned, you know, one of the big differences between us and, you know, many franchise concepts is that we're operators. So we have people who are running our businesses and involved in the corporate business, and a lot of those folks are going to be the ones who are training and helping our franchise partners be, you know, get off the ground and obviously, you know, helping them through their operational growth as well. You mentioned a gentleman before, Dos Condon, who we actually moved from our corporate business, and he is now our vice president of franchise operations. So, you know, they're going to get a guy with 25 years of operations experience and has touched every aspect of our business, and he's going to be the kind of account executive, if you will, of every franchisee who joins us. And then our leadership team, including myself, are going to be all, you know, intimately involved in you know, every aspect of the business. And that's, you know, that's the realities of that part of it. And then on top of all that, we have we decided that we were going to be by far the most, offer the most versus our competition in terms of training. So we are, part of our development package is 150 hours of training, both in the gym as well as classroom training, because we really believe that it requires us being able to teach that person who, to your point, is making an investment, whether it's their life savings or whether it's something that they're diversifying, but they want to learn and know as much as we do. And so we decided that we were going to, you know, put as much out there as we can and give folks the opportunity to have it, you know, the best chance of success. And I would tell you, in our early franchisees, I can't even tell you how much time and effort we've been putting in with them to make them, you know, to enable them to have the success that they ultimately want. And, you know, we realize as new franchisors, our early franchisees have to be successful. Our whole, you know, future is, and as you know, and in your deep experience in franchising, that you know, the first folks that anybody's going to call are the early franchisees. And so we are, you know, doing everything we can and spending an inordinate amount of time helping them in any way we can, because we want them to be successful, and we are doing everything we can to help them do that. So, you know, that support will be there, and I personally have been spending a lot of my time on our franchise part of the business, because it is that important to our success and our future.
Tell me about the day-to-day. What does a day in the life of one of your franchisees look like? I belong to a Gold's Gym near my home. The only reason I belong to Gold's is because they're the only one near me that I can get to 24/7, and my lifestyle and my schedule and business life dictates that I don't have any excuses in front of me, like, oh, I got there too late. I know I can't live with the excuses. I've got to go someplace that's always there if I want to be.
Yep.
But I've never, ever, in, I guess I've been a member for almost 4 years, I have no idea who the franchisee is. I've never seen him. If I have, I don't know it's him. So clearly, in their model, the franchisees backstage, low profile. What about in a model like yours? What's the day-to-day of a franchisee look like in your world?
I think, you know, the interesting thing is I think it depends. There are some, you know, franchisees who have who really don't want to be in the gym 24/7. They don't want to be the ones who are actually doing the day-to-day operations. They view themselves as more of an investor. And they are looking to hire people who can, you know, be the face of their business in the gym, and we're fine with that. And, you know, obviously we want them to hire the right people and make sure that the people who are running the business are capable and competent. And you know, we don't think that that's an issue at all. There are others, however, who do want to be there. We have a franchisee who wants to be in the gym and wants to kind of be there, kind of 24/7 in their case, and wants to be the face of the gym to their members. So I think it really will vary depending on the franchisees that you know, come on board. And we have a pretty flexible model, and as I said, you know, we're willing and able to teach people, and that teaching can transfer to, you know, the club manager, who doesn't necessarily have to be the franchisee. It could be a representative of the franchisee. So both of those models would work well in our system.
Somebody who's looking to become, or somebody who's engaged enough to be interested in wanting to learn more about your process, what is the vetting process look like, and how many different touch points over what period of time do you dedicate toward making decisions? Let's talk a little bit about your processes.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, some of it is, you know, as in many cases, so, some of it is art and some of it is science. And, you know, part of it for us is really finding people that we connect with and are like-minded in terms of their desire for excellence. It's very hard to put our model in the market and not be focused on all the things we talked about before, like, you know, this everyone cleans philosophy and this attention to detail and a desire to kind of bring that premium experience to the value segment. So you have to have a desire for that, and some people have that, and some people don't. And I think you can get through that pretty clearly in the vetting process. But we always like to meet our franchise prospects face to face, spend time with them. We always go into our gyms and walk the gyms with them and explain to them what the day-to-day operation is like, because some people like it and some people that's not for them. And so part of our desire as we go through the vetting process is to really get to know the franchise prospect and really understand how they are thinking and what their desires are, and to really see whether there's a match. It's kind of like the dating process. You know, you kind of got to have a few dates before you know whether you're, you know, this is somebody that you're interested in being with long term. Obviously, we also go through all of the financial vetting processes and you know, ultimately get into, you know, what I would consider to be kind of a loose discovery day, but that opportunity where it comes down to how are they thinking about the business, how are we thinking about the business, and do we have an opportunity that is connected with that franchise prospect, that is, you know, a great partnership. And so so it's somewhat of a formal process, but it's also a process of really finding whether these are folks that, you know, we connect with and whether they connect with us. And I would tell you, we've turned people away. We've had people, interestingly, just a story of we had a franchise prospect who came to us and was highly qualified, you know, financially. You know, they were only looking for a location that could be, you know, within a subway ride from their house. And we just said to ourselves, if that's your criteria, then we're probably not good partners for you guys. And so we passed on them because they were kind of only looking for something that would be, you know, close to home. And we are, you know, we're in this case looking for somebody who was looking to develop more than just a local gym. So that's kind of how we've gone about it. And again, we're trying to be particular about our franchisees, and hopefully they'll be particular about us. And, you know, we're probably not going to be the biggest, but our goal is to be the best. And so we're going to find people that, you know, match our approach and our mentality. And hopefully that is a win-win.
That's an interesting story. Criteria being just a subway, you know, right away. I had never heard that, although I've heard many. And obviously, in today's day and age, with so many people out there looking at opportunities, you know, we hear a lot in franchising, you know, nurturing the leads as they come through. And it appears that you've got a very succinct process to move everybody through and not to get deep into, you know, number of leads and what have you. But I would imagine as you continue to grow, your activity is going to be quite robust. How does technology fit into the equation on the back end of operating the franchise, you know, even down to, you know, franchise CRM or anything along those lines?
Well, technology is actually a real big part of our business model, and it transfers not only into the operations of the gym, but also, you know, through the whole franchise, the franchise support process. So from a gym standpoint, one of the real interesting things about our business model is we have essentially no paper in the operation of the gym. All of the sign-up is either done online, so you can go online, onto our website, and you can join online or even in the gym. We have a kiosk, pretty cool looking kiosk actually. That is, it's all paperless, so you can do that online. So there's no paper transactions, and it really, you know, we use iPads, we use a variety of really cool technology that enables not only just the technology piece of it, but also takes the burden off of the, you know, what you called mood lifters before, so people who are working in the gym, and makes it really simple for them on all the transactions, and whether that's a membership sign up or whether it's a beverage or a T-shirt or whatever else. Everything is done electronically, which really simplifies the process. And that mentality really transfers even into our franchise system. So we have a turnkey system of support, both in terms of analytics, in terms of P&L management, in terms of reporting. We are using MotionSoft as our back office supply and transaction data. So it's very, very simple. It's all kind of turnkey, and it makes a very, very easy, it makes it very easy for the franchisee to kind of go through our model, because it's all kind of there, and we've already done it in our 46 locations, and it's working very, very well. And so they have the opportunity to essentially take those turnkey processes and to use that to their advantage. And you know, it's all leveraging state-of-the-art technology.
Before we get to how people can find you, as we get to the close of our time together here today, Todd, I want to ask you about your development map and the grid for development as you're going forward. Clearly a New York-based concept currently, but we talked about area development as a potential or multi-unit development. How far out on the map are you looking for the next year, 3-5, in terms of additional growth and geography?
Well, we are... as you mentioned, all of our locations today, which are all of our corporate locations, are in the New York metro area. So our desire, both corporately as well as with franchising, is to start going outside the New York area. From a franchising standpoint, you mentioned some of the areas that we have been targeting. These are not exclusive, but these are areas where we're putting particular focus, Boston, Miami, all of Texas, Tampa, Atlanta. Just to name a few of the markets, those are some of the places that we are, kind of going a bit deeper from a franchising standpoint. But quite honestly, depending on the development opportunity, we pretty much will entertain that opportunity almost anywhere. And so, we've been getting folks coming from the West Coast, from the Midwest. Through our development efforts, we are getting our name out there. People are learning more and more about us. But, we're pretty open geographically, and that's one of the advantages of our franchise system, is that today we're in a relatively small geography, and the opportunity for a franchisee is almost unlimited from a geographic standpoint. But so depending on the opportunity, we'll at least entertain franchise development almost anywhere, and today we're focused on some of those key geographies, and we have a lot of deep discussions going on in many different geographies. So I would believe that over the next couple of years or so, we're going to start to pop up in places throughout the country.
If I gave you the opportunity to spend a minute, Todd, on your affiliated companies and your parent company and the backing behind you, and a question around that, with Equinox Fitness having or the parent company having Equinox and other interests in the fitness space, is franchising on the grid for any of those, or will that be exclusive to Blink?
Yeah, so just to give a little color on that. So our parent company is Equinox, which is the world leader in luxury fitness and luxury lifestyle brands. They are in a class by themselves, and the leaders of that organization were the architects of building Blink and really having a vision for Blink early on in 2010, 2011 when we launched. However, all of that said, we are run completely separately. We have our own office, our own systems, our own people, and while we have taken skills and capabilities, and we've inherited those from our parent. We are run as a completely separate company, and so that is an important part of what makes us different. And we've taken all the things, and many of the things that are great about them, and we've kind of brought that to a different consumer. They will continue to guide us, and as you mentioned, the other companies that are part of the family of the Equinox brands, including Equinox or Blink and SoulCycle, which has obviously been a tremendously successful boutique business and continues to expand their footprint as well. I would say that franchising on those other businesses, aside from Blink, is probably out of the question. But you know, we believe Blink franchising represents the best opportunity and is the right business to be franchising, and so that's really where we're putting our franchise efforts.
I think I lost Stan during this for some reason, Todd. So anyway, how would people interested in the franchise find out more information? Who should they call? Where should they look?
Yeah, well, first of all, they should definitely go to blinkfranchising.com. That is, you know, lots of information that they can find on Blink. They can also go to our gym site to learn a little bit more, and that's blinkfitness.com. And then Ed Yancey, who you mentioned, was our VP of Franchise Development earlier on. Ed is definitely somebody that they should reach out to at 917-251-0953, or they can reach him at ed.yancey, Yancey, at blinkfitness.com. And all of those opportunities will come back to us, and we'd love to connect with folks who are interested, and hopefully people will be interested in the brand. I think it's a great opportunity, a great investment opportunity, and a highly differentiated brand.
In a blink, I was thrown off the call, Paul.
Yeah, you were. I saw that. Well, you know, Todd, definitely appreciate you being a guest with us today, especially coming out of you're on vacation, and it's really an honor that you took the time to talk with us today. Thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure, Paul. Stan, thank you so much. You're never on vacation, as you know, when you're in small business and franchising. It's 24/7, and you try to squeeze in a little bit of R&R here and there. But it's a labor of love and a passion, and I'm always delighted to talk about the business in any capacity. So thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, Stan, we've got just a couple of minutes. I saw that you got thrown off right after we talked about technology. Technology fails us. But we got an interesting couple of guests coming up over the next few weeks. And I think it's interesting because we're leading into, you know, FAN, as you talk about the Franchise Action Network. There's a lot of things going on in franchising, you know, regarding the franchisor-franchisee relationship. More and more franchisees are getting involved in the IFA. And next week, we have Kevin Lafer, the president of Unishippers, who's also a franchise owner. So that's going to be an interesting perspective. And then Wednesday, August 17th, we have Sam Haddock. He's in the process of becoming a multi-unit operator with Costa Vida. And I know you and Sam go back some years, and he's got a wealth of experience on both the franchisee and the franchisor side. So that's going to be an interesting conversation, and I think all the conversations are going to be great heading into, the Labor Day weekend. And I imagine by next week I might even have our guest schedule completely filled out. Thanks in part to today's guest, who was brought to us by the great people at All Points PR, and of course next week's guest and some future guests coming to us from Fishman Public Relations. So really appreciate the work that, you know, these great organizations are doing on behalf of you and I and franchise today.
You know, you talk about Sam Haddock. On one hand, I'm so looking forward to having a conversation with Sam, who I've known through many brands, both on my part and his. But, you know, it just causes me to take a pause for a moment and realize how many people there are to us local to our lives that we have to either go to a conference to see because we never see them at home, or we have to host on a radio program because I should be talking to Sam all the time. We're both in the Southeast, and I've known him forever, and he's just one of those guys who I can't believe it's been as long as it's been, but I am so, so looking forward to the conversation I'm going to have with him.
You know, and interesting to your point, too, when we've said this the last few weeks, yeah, you're right. We should see these people more often. I was at the Franchise Business Network here the other day in Houston, and franchise attorney that I do quite a bit of work with, Wayne Bunch from DLA Piper. I hadn't seen him in 6 months, and we're in the same market, and we talk quite regularly, but we haven't seen each other. But also, again, to the point of what's been happening at Franchise today, is being introduced to so many new people with really a great level of success established in a rather short period of time. Right here on Franchise Today. Again, you know, Blink Fitness, definitely under my radar before today. Been there, done that last week, under my radar. Carmelo Masala, the Next Gen winner, with the exception of Next Gen, certainly would have been under our radar. So it's really great to see what's happening in franchising.
Could not agree with you more, Paul. And I just hope that the audience has half the fun listening as you and I do hosting this program and bringing some of these stories to the light of day.
Yep. Until next week, my name is Paul Segreto, wishing you the best, the very best in this great, great thing called franchising. Franchise Today is out.